Amen. Good morning. Good thing it's raining today. Don't know what we'd do. We didn't have a little bit more rain. I hope you're enjoying it, at least in the blessing of it, because you're getting it regardless. Rocky just said in a month and a half will be snow. Thank you for the optimism there, Rocky. I appreciate that. Well, it is refreshing. It's beautiful. It's refilling the aquifers under the ground. It's refilling our lakes. It's cleaning the air. Rain does all sorts of good things, even if you and I might want a little bit more blue sky and sunshine. We have sunshine in our hearts and souls, and we praise God for that and with that, and we thank Him for the rain. If you're visiting the state of Alaska, the skies really can be blue here. They do get blue sometimes. We often have a lot of blue in a row. But we love having you here. Got a couple of public service announcements, which is immediately making CB squirm a little bit because I never finish on time. One public service announcement is that the 26th of August, we're having an election. The state of Alaska is having a primary election. And I was just going to announce to the congregation to make sure you register to vote, and you vote this fall in the national election in November. But the primary election, sometimes we pay attention to, and sometimes we don't, because it's the parties picking their candidate and all that, except that we got four big, fat ballot initiatives on this thing. Ballot measure 1 through 4. Everybody know what number 4 is? All right. Anybody know what 1, 2, and 3 are? One is creation of a gaming commission. Number 2 is allowing same-day shooting, airborne shooting for bears, or stopping it or something like that. 3 is public funding of campaigns. And 4 is what you all know about, the mining and the water regulation. But the creation of a gaming commission would bring Alaska into the world of lotteries and statewide gambling. And I want you, my brothers and sisters, to be making that choice. So please, the primary election isn't a small deal. It's not just parties choosing their own party candidates. It has some pretty significant things that would change your life and my life and the tenor and quality of the state of Alaska and what the government is involved in. So I ask you to please make sure you're registered and go out and vote. Go out and put your decision, your opinion, into the ballot box so that, and in a primary election with fewer people voting, that means your vote counts a whole lot more. So go on out there. I want you and your families making these decisions, or at least having a powerful sway in what the decisions are going to be. The second public announcement I have is a little bit in the past. I had an awesome day yesterday. I was out with a total of 10 in our group. I think it was 5 adults, 5 children, out four-wheeling yesterday. We went around the other side through Willow and up the Willow Fishhook Road and went four-wheeling up in the Talkeetna Mountains. Bill Hales put that together. Jason Gardner helped him out. And we had an awesome day yesterday. Getting out into this beautiful country. There was a great deal of our day that looked like a commercial on a four-wheeling, you know, a television commercial where they show this picture-perfect place that people go driving these four-wheelers through, and you go, well, nothing really looks like that, except it really does look like that out there. It was fantastic. I've got 2 boys who are getting a Walt Disney World fever, who every time that we talk about where do you want to go, they say, Walt Disney World. Because they can imagine the rides and the activities and the excitement of a big theme park like that. And Isaac and I are going down on a four-wheeler yesterday, down a slope like this, with boulders like that, and along with the rest of the crew. And we're going over and around ruts and across streams. And I said, Isaac, is there any ride in Disney World like this? As we're going down this hill. And he said, no, but there ought to be. Wouldn't that be awesome? And I said, but that wouldn't be real. This one's real, and we're going down the hill. And if they had one, it wouldn't be this much fun, and it wouldn't be this dangerous. This is terrific. And I said all that to say, not this is not an opinion for or against the theme parks out there, but we got the real thing up here. We've got this beautiful, awesome creation of God out our back doors. The beauty of those lakes and mountains and the ability to get out and do some thrilling things. Bill did a beautiful job in organizing that thing yesterday, and we had a fun and a safe and a quality time. I wish more of you had been able to come. You don't have to have four-wheelers to do stuff that's exciting and interesting. Yesterday's happened to be a motorized trip. But next weekend, we're going to family camp. That was beating around the bush to get to family camp. Another gathering of this church family and going out to enjoy God's great creation here. We're going to be out at camp from Friday through Sunday out at the church camp. So I invite you, the forms are out there, and get out and taste God's beautiful creation. Rain or shine, it's fantastic to drink in what God has done for us. Let's pray together and then get into the lesson. Great Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we praise you and thank you and pray that in all things we bring you glory. Thank you so much, Father. Thank you so much for this wonderful creation. You give us a natural environment outside that naturally refills our spirit, that naturally encourages our soul. We get up to these mountaintops or look across the lakes you've created or catch the fish that you put in them, and our spirit is revived, our soul is encouraged, our heart is lifted because we're involved in what you did and naturally fitting ourselves into it. Thank you so much, Father, that we have the privilege of living in a place like Alaska where things are so close to us and we can truly drink in more and more of your beauty and creation. Help us to hang on to the true beauty of your creation, your word, the beauty of your son, the beauty of our restored relationship in him, and help us as Christians and as brothers and sisters in this church to grow in all things to completeness there. Help us to love your word and to drink it in every day that we can be better followers of yours and obedient to you in all things. Be with us in this lesson now that your truth is taught. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may have noticed that the building doesn't look, the inside of the building doesn't look quite like it has every week. We've got some decorations along here. This was part of our vacation Bible school. You're sitting in the middle of a robot factory is what we had throughout the week. And we had a very cooperative robot this week. You can ask Matthew Pruitt about that. But we had some fun at Vacation Bible School, and the robot, the putting together a robot, came because the theme was Christian character, building Christian character this week. And the five parts of the Christian character, should I be quiet and let our children tell us? The five parts of the Christian character we learned this week were obedience, forgiveness, determination, honesty, and self-control. Obedience, forgiveness, determination, honesty, and self-control. A really excellent group of characteristics that you would want to have in abundance in your life. In fact, there's nothing hardly other than love itself, maybe greater than obedience, that you and I would be people of obedience, that we would be those who look to obey and to follow those things around us. The first thing you really want, besides your natural love, the first thing you really want to teach your children is obedience. The first thing you really want them to get to do is obey you. That when you have a toddler going across the room, you want to be able to say no, and that toddler won't grab that hot cup of coffee that your guest has just put down on the coffee table. The toddler won't pull another inch on that tablecloth with the vase getting closer and closer to the end, to the edge rather. Obedience, such a critical thing that we want our children to learn. It's the first thing you teach a dog. You know, you give them a sit-stay, and you're halfway there to teaching your dog all the rest of the stuff. It's very similar with our children that we want them to learn obedience. But these character qualities, and the five of them, are obviously just a small part of character study overall. And one of the things we've been blessed with is we've had a group of people. Bob Garrett has really been kind of the center of this thing in bringing some of this stuff to our attention. But we have some character studies that we have been bringing and incorporating into our Bible school. This is some of the basic materials we've been using. This material is family. It's called Achieving True Success: How to Build Character as a Family, and this is family based. It's a series of individual lessons, 49 different character traits in there. The unfortunate thing about this has no scripture involved in it. It's just the traits and historical and other sources of example of it. But this one, How to Build Character in Your Life, is based on scripture. And again, has 49 different traits, a slight difference in a couple of the character traits. But a lot of this comes from a company called, or a group called, Character First, that works a lot with businesses. And they have put together 49 different character traits. This is an example of the brochures and training material that they use in businesses, because employers want their workers, the people in their company, to have quality character. And let me let you know what we're doing with character in the congregation. We're, over the next three summers, this summer in 09 and 10, we're teaching 39 different character traits in our Bible classes. We started this summer with attentiveness, compassion, dependability, endurance, generosity, hospitality, initiative, joyfulness, loyalty. This week is patience, responsibility, sincerity, and virtue. That's what have been in our children's Bible classes this summer. Next summer, we're doing alertness, benevolence, contentment, diligence, discernment, enthusiasm, gratefulness, humility, justice, meekness, orderliness, sensitivity, and thriftiness. And in 2010, we're doing cautiousness, deference, determination, discretion, forgiveness, gentleness, honor, obedience, responsibility, self-control, thoroughness, truthfulness, and wisdom. That's 39 of the 49. Now, that's quite a list. That's a pretty incredible list. Wouldn't it that all of our characters had those as strengths? And in fact, that's a very doable thing, that we are individuals and families of character, that we can be a congregation of people of good character, because good character has incredible blessings coming from it. Now, as extensive as that list is, and I didn't highlight which were the last 10 of the 49 that we left out. But on these lists, including the 49, the things like that aren't on the list are things like kindness, consideration, mercy, faithfulness, unselfishness, and except for the scriptural one has this in it, but the other ones don't, love. You see, even though you list 49 different high-quality, critical, significant character traits that you want to be in your life, you can still easily think of more. It's incredible when you think of the breadth and complexity that it takes to make good character. But as Lauren said earlier, all of these things come with blessings. All of these things with God come with blessings. So, over our three-year study, we're going to be building character. And what I'd like you to do is look over your children's shoulders, ask them about their Bible classes. And oh, by the way, the Sunday morning and the Wednesday night class are both teaching the same subject. They're teaching different parts of the same subject. So this week when we talk about patience, the one class will talk about a certain aspect of patience and scripture supporting that, and the other class We'll talk about another aspect of patience or another way to grow in patience and the scriptures supporting that. To what end? To what end? What would we gain if we were men and women and children of that kind of character? Well, imagine as this thing sort of purposed, these materials have at some of their core is excellent job skills. People of high quality character that would be valuable employees and workers on the job, even around your home, even in your own life. Because one of my struggles is not maintaining myself up to God's standards, although that's a terrible struggle of mine. One of my struggles is holding myself up to my own standards. I can't even live up to my own standards, and they're pretty anemic compared to what God's standards are. But one thing we would have if we were men and women of high character is we would have high quality job skills and be valuable employees. Ephesians chapter 6 emphasizes this by saying, "Slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of your heart as to Christ, not by way of eye service as man pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will, render service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good thing each one does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. And masters, do the same things to them, and give up threatening, knowing that their masters and yours in heaven, and there is no partiality with him." We would be high quality and high valued employees. We would be significantly effective at work were we men and women of greater character. Another thing we would have would be terrific marriages. Imagine we would grow in character this way. Ephesians 5:22, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is head of the church, he himself being the Savior of the body. But as the church is subject to Christ, so also the wives ought to be to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by washing of water with the word." That relationship, that incredibly engaging and personal relationship of man and woman as husband and wife, imagine building in that attentiveness, compassion, dependability, endurance, hospitality, initiative, joyfulness, loyalty, patience, responsibility, sincerity, and virtue. That's just this summer's list. That's just the 13 we're doing this summer. Imagine growing in those ways in your character and then adding that to your marriage. What an incredible blessing and a growth that would be in our marriages. We would have great and significant friendships as a blessing from being men and women of character. Ephesians 4:25, "Therefore, laying aside all falsehood, speak truth to each other, each of you with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give the devil an opportunity. He who steals must steal no longer, but rather he must labor, performing with his own hands what is good, so that he may have something to share with the one who has need. Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, for whom you were sealed on the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ has also forgiven you." Our friendships, our relationships would be such a greater and more significant thing as we grow in these areas of character. Our personal lives would improve. The heart and soul of who we are and what we think about ourselves and the effectiveness that we have in just walking through life. in Ephesians 5, verse 3, consider this. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as it is improper among the saints. There must be no filthiness or silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Down to verse 15. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days were evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Another great quality, or great blessing, I should say, that comes from having good, strong character and character traits. Let me tell you something that happened in my VBS class. If I thought for a while, I'd remember exactly which grade it was, but it doesn't matter. You can all think it was your child involved in the grade. But one of the classes came in, and what we, Andrea and I, were working with the class on honesty and truthfulness and that character trait. And our snack this past week was watermelon. So we made, sounds good, doesn't it? We made little name tags in our class, and the children all went upstairs and did their craft. And then they came down, and Andrea had set a slice of watermelon and a drink all the way down the table downstairs where our food room normally is. And the children came in there, and they were a pretty active group. These were littler guys, and they were pretty active, and we had to round them up a few times and tug on them a few times and sit them down a few times during the class that we had had. And every child came to that table and sat down and put their hands down in front of them and didn't touch their watermelon or their drink. I didn't say a word. I didn't tell any of them anything. They all came down and sat one at a time and sat around their table, active little children, and sat around that table and waited until a prayer was said before they picked up their watermelon and bit into it. And I said, Andrew, look at that. She said, isn't that neat? I said, that's terrific. You see, quality character gets noticed. We get this flyer. I've only been getting it for some of the past year, not very long actually, a few months maybe. And it's called Answers Update. It's from Answers in Genesis. Answers in Genesis is a group out of Kentucky. The Answers in Genesis folks are the ones who created the Creation Museum. And if you ever travel back to Kentucky or near Cincinnati, Ohio, my family has been there. I have not. The Creation Museum is there just south of Cincinnati, and apparently is a high-quality, very interesting place. And this is their monthly flyer that they send out. But they have an article in this flyer, just a short thing, actually. Museum guests bring blessings to area hotels. Cincinnati area hotels have been blessed by overnight visitors to the Creation Museum in more ways than one. While many hotels have seen an increase in business from the visitors of the Creation Museum, it's the Christian character of these visitors that is leaving a lasting impression on people. Karen Bennett, director of sales at the Country Inn and Suites in Hebron, says the Creation Museum guests are very different from our other leisure visitors. They're friendly and respectful of hotel property, staff, and other guests. Her staff is often amazed at how many museum guests pray before eating and even tidy up after they're finished. One leader even had his youth group wipe down their tables when they were finished eating. I can't tell you what a powerful impact that has on our employees, Bennett said. They talked about it for days. Sandy Hill, director of sales at the Courtyard by Marriott, Florence in Florence, agrees about the positive impact. We book other leisure groups, and sometimes they're difficult to take care of. We've had some groups that have been loud, drunk, or disrespectful, and others who've allowed their teens to run through the hotel unsupervised. It's been very stressful on our employees. Hill staff, however, has noticed a difference in the behavior of the museum guests. Our staff has definitely noticed how kind, considerate, and pleasant Creation Museum guests are. One employee even told me that she was surprised how genuinely happy and fulfilled museum guests are in their faith. They're always telling me the book to, excuse me, they, being the staff, are always telling me to book more Creation Museum groups. Interesting that people of Christian faith are making a difference in the businesses around something like the Creation Museum. Our character is noticed, and therefore you're praised, and people enjoy having you around and having your children around when they display that kind of character. Elders are even, in fact, admonished to be people who are well thought of by outsiders. So the opinion of those outside the faith, of those inside the faith, is a motivation and a teaching of God. So, are those good enough reasons to be men and women of character? Are those enough to motivate us to character? In fact, what does God call us to be? Now, if you hadn't noticed, we've been almost entirely in Ephesians. So let's go back to Ephesians. Let's go back to Ephesians in chapter 4, please. You see, one of the problems with listing these 49 traits, and they're excellent traits, gratefulness. In fact, in this book, the one with the scripture, each trait is given with its counterpart, its opposite. For example, enthusiasm. It says enthusiasm versus apathy. Enthusiasm is God's energy in my spirit expressing itself through my mind, will, and emotions. The idea that there's something to embrace, honor versus disrespect is another one. There's something to embrace and there's something to be gotten rid of. But even with 49 different characters, we easily named several that you would want in your life and I would want in my life that aren't on that list. So what do you do about that? What does the scripture do about that? Well, in Ephesians chapter 4, we get a glimpse at the organization of the church and what we are to do in this relationship with one another. Verse 11, Ephesians 4. He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to a measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Now, then he gives blessings. As a result, we will no longer be children tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, etc., etc., etc. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. Each individual part is critical, as Paul describes the church. But the point, the goal is called maturity in verse 13. At the end of verse 13, it's called the measure of the stature which belongs to Christ. In verse 15, we're to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head. It gives us the goal of our character. It gives us the direction of our character, and that is the fullness of Christ. The person of Jesus Christ. The word used in verse 13, the mature man, some of yours may say perfect man, but the word is teleos. The word is teleos, and it really means perfect It means complete. It means you've got everything. You're full. You're perfect. And you say, no, I'm not, either out loud or to yourself. But you're mature. Well, yeah, sure, I'm mature. I'm complete. Well, no, okay, I'm not complete. But I'm mature. Don't tell me I'm immature. I am mature. And the Bible says if you're not perfect and complete, you're not mature. You see, there's a quality of this character that you could take 500 words to describe, and even the 500 words wouldn't describe the fullness of what you and I need to be characters for God. Now, some of us are characters for God, but that's a different meaning of the word, characters for God. I can be a character, and am many times in the humorous side of the word. But we're called to perfection. We're called to completeness. This is the same word Jesus uses that in Matthew 5, verse 48. He calls us right after he gives, right in the middle of his teachings there, in Matthew 5. He says, therefore, you are to be perfect even as your heavenly Father is perfect. We're called to have all the fullnesses of... You know, there must be something wrong with not speaking every week. I love it. I love listening to Lauren, but I certainly get tongue-tied when I get back up here. Let me see if I can get my tongue straightened out. All right. What was I saying? We're called to have all the fullness, all the completeness that's in Christ. And Christ turns around and says, I want you to have all the completeness, all the fullness, all the perfection that's in God. We're called to Christ's level, and Christ calls us to God's level. And as we've been talking about Christ and God being part of the Godhead, we find out that both of those levels are the same, and they're both unattainable. Unattainable in the sense that you and I are weak. You and I have sinned. You and I are stuck in a world that tries to trip us up minute by minute, hour by hour, day after day. But we're still called to that perfection. You see, as good as these character studies are, they're not enough. They're not all. We still need to look back at who Jesus Christ was and what he was and what he did and say, I want to be like him. Look at Colossians chapter 1, a similar passage to Ephesians 4 as far as what the evangelists and elders and teachers are supposed to be doing in the church. In Colossians chapter 1, Paul says, verse 25, this is what Chris read for us earlier, Colossians 1:25, of this I was made a minister or a servant, according to the stewardship from God bestowed upon me for your benefit. So that I might fully carry out the preaching of the word of God. That is, and if I might jump down to verse 28, we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom, that we may present every man, teleos, in Christ. Perfect in Christ. Complete in Christ, mature in Christ. For this purpose I labor, striving according to his power, which mightily works in me. I like our brother Epaphras. You've met Epaphras before, right? You know Epaphras? we talk about him or meet him in Colossians chapter 4. Go look at Colossians chapter 4, verse 12. Our brother Epaphras, I like to think of him out there now, but of course he's passed on a couple thousand years ago. Our brother Epaphras, who is one of your number, verse 12, Colossians 4, a bondslave of Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings, always laboring earnestly for you in his prayers, so that you may stand teleos and fully assured in all the will of God, so that you may stand perfect Wouldn't you love to have a brother out there praying for you that you could be perfect? Praying for you that you could be mature? Anybody, don't raise your hand out physically, but raise your hand in your heart. Say, I'll be that guy. I'll be that lady. You pray for this congregation. One of the best prayer lists we have is called our directory. It's an awesome way to pray. And if you don't do it, if you haven't done it, try it. And if you tried it, try to do it regularly, you know, once a week, once a month. Sit down with the directory and name them name each one of us name by name by name by name by name and pray for the church. And if you don't know who the name is, who is that person? Then find out the next time you come together and say hi to them. Or write them a note or a letter or make a phone call. But pray for their maturity. Pray for their completeness. We are called to be complete in Christ. There's no character list on this planet that can list all that Christ is. Last week, we were right in the middle of Romans 8. In fact, we were all over Romans 8 from 1 to the end as Lauren taught us the lesson he did. But right in the middle, and he tried to emphasize it a bit in verse 29. If we start in verse 28 of Romans 8. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God. But to those who are called according to his purpose, for those he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son. If you want a goal for your life, you can write that one down. Dear Lord, dear Father, help me to become conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. That's character. If you want a goal for your children, write that on their bedroom wall. Let them write it on their bedroom wall. Put it up there on their wall. Let your children decorate their room, but somewhere in there, make sure that Christ-likeness, that being like Jesus Christ, is something that they're reminded of every day. That's the character we want. The 49 traits are excellent. I recommend that you, if you want, these books aren't free. They're not that expensive. This is the family book, a little bit kind of geared toward individual studies by family, and this is the one that is scripturally based. But that you get something like this, and you can let a full year's worth of weekly family devotionals be character traits. You can match our summer study in order and take the character traits home from your children's classes and make them part of your family devotionals at home. A daily reminder. What's our character trait this year? Determination. Okay, we're determined to get all these dishes washed before we go on to the next thing, right? We're determined to dust and vacuum the living room. We're determined to make sure that the garage is clean this weekend. Whatever it might be, that those character traits can be part of your home and your family. But that above that, beyond that, the goal in that is that we can become conformed to the image of his Son. Let's end this lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to enjoy the character studies we've been adding to our vacation Bible school, to our summer classes. One of the reasons, by the way, practically that we're doing it in the summer is because we take vacations. We interrupt our summer program. Both teachers get interrupted and students get interrupted in the summer in all the come and go we have. And therefore, individual studies like character traits, if you miss one, you haven't lost the sequencing of a regular sequential Bible study. So it's a little bit easier to put in substitute teachers and to do other things in the summer, which is one of the practical reasons we have it. But what a good time and what a good thing to study. And you ought to thank Bob Garrett for getting us started in it. By the way, we are going to finish this lesson in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. All those blessings will be ours. The quality of work, the quality marriages and family life, the quality friendships, the quality of our personal characters will all be
ARs of our individual lives with better characters. But that's not the goal. That's not the end all. Let's look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. Give no offense either to Jews or to Greeks or to the church of God. Just as I also please all men in all things, not seeking my own profit, but the profit of the many, so that they may be saved. Be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. He says, my goal, my character goal is to be like Christ. And in the last verses of chapter 10, we get two great results. Greater than our joy, greater than our relationships, greater than our job. And the two great results is the salvation of others and the glory of God. That when they see the character of your lives and the character of your children, when this youth group goes and stays in somebody's house or hotel or works with some congregation across the state, and they say, wow, what well-behaved teenagers those are. God is glorified. And like has already happened in this congregation, folks' hearts soften and they come to Christ and are baptized into Him. That's the great result of good character in our lives. Our blessings are there, but much greater than that is God's will is done for who we are. Today, if there's any here who have not been baptized into Christ, if you're ready, as Aaron has done in the middle of the week, and we've all been enjoying that and welcoming our new sister. If any have that need or have any other need that we can help you with in prayer or in Bible study or whatever it might be, please come forward and let us know. Please come while we stand and sing the song that Bruce has selected.